Hillary Clinton's campaign says she will release additional medical records this week after falling ill at a 9/11 event in New York City. Meanwhile, Donald Trump says he will release very specific records about his health on the Dr. Oz show on Thursday. What do you make of all the talk about the health of the presidential candidates? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 13th. In a telephone interview with CNN's Anderson Cooper last night, Hillary Clinton said she didn't think her diagnosis of pneumonia was a big deal, and that's why her campaign did not disclose it right away. Do you think it was a big deal? She says Donald Trump needs to disclose more than he has about his health, too, but also when it comes to his tax returns, which he hasn't released yet. Do you agree with that? For his part, Trump did not bring up Clinton's health while campaigning yesterday, but criticized her for calling half of his supporters deplorable. We will focus mostly on the issue of our presidential candidate's health, and we will welcome your thoughts and your questions about this issue and other issues making news on the campaign trail at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Jasmine Ferrier, a professor of political science at the University of Louisville. Her areas of interest include the presidency and politics and history. She's also a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning, and again, welcome back to Wisconsin via the radio.
Thank you. Good morning.
So what is, first, just your general reaction to what happened to Hillary Clinton over the weekend when she stumbled and had to be helped into her car by her campaign staff workers?
Well, like most important campaign moments, there's a short-term and a bigger question. So the short-term is that this is a media story because it does fuel a stereotype that the Clinton presidency of her husband, as well as potentially her own presidency, might have some issues with secrecy and disclosure. In addition, of course, there's the conspiracy theory about her health that has been whispered by and sometimes even spoken out loud by the Trump supporter organizations and surrogates. So that's the short term. But the long term is that presidential health and disability has changed the course of the nation several times. So it's no small matter that both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are two old candidates, frankly, compared to others we've had in recent decades.
Yeah, Donald Trump would be the oldest to be elected president and Hillary Clinton the second oldest?
She might be second or third behind Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Well, so then the campaign, Hillary Clinton's campaign, disclosed after the stumble and all the news that she had been diagnosed on Friday with pneumonia. Was it a mistake that the campaign did not disclose that right away?
Well, again, it depends on the stereotype. So if Hillary Clinton had a stereotype for being a workaholic who wouldn't listen to doctors because she wanted to hit the campaign trail and did not want to miss a September 11th commemoration event, that actually sounds like a positive piece of news. But it's not. So it fed into the negative stereotype, again, about the secrecy. But if I were her campaign, I would try to spin the more positive side, which is that she actually, instead of being frail, she's actually a very robust woman. Unfortunately, for her campaign, they didn't try that angle.
Yeah. Well, she did last night in this telephone interview with Anderson Cooper say, hey, we didn't disclose it because we just didn't think it was that big a deal. And, hey, my friend and colleague, Senator Chuck Schumer, has pneumonia, too, and he never, he doesn't announce that, hey, I have pneumonia.
That seems a little disingenuous to me because she's running for president and Senator Schumer is not. So I think that it's obvious that her campaign was afraid of the reaction, and they got double of what they would have expected if they just disclosed it normally.
Yeah, and they were afraid, you say, probably because there were these stories just leading up to Sunday where, hey, she's coughing. There's something really wrong. She's coughing all the time. Oh, gee, her concussion that she suffered a few years ago is affecting her physically and mentally. That was the Trump campaign narrative.
Yes, and again, if you're a Hillary Clinton supporter, that sounds like a pile-on and an attack, but we have to remember that we have had four presidents who have died in office. We have had more presidents than that have serious health episodes in office without disclosing them or without disclosing them fully, including a stroke by President Woodrow Wilson that left the country effectively without a president for a year and a half, and that was very secretive. Of course, we know of Franklin Roosevelt's physical disabilities, which, contrary to popular knowledge, really were known. I mean, people knew that he was disabled, but the extent of his heart problems in his last term led him to die in office in the first year of his fourth term. Dwight Eisenhower had a heart attack in 1955. Of course, Reagan's assassination attempt left him disabled temporarily, as well as his colon cancer surgery while he was president.
And Reagan also, it was disclosed after he left office that he was experiencing symptoms of Alzheimer's while in office, right?
I think that might be debatable. Mm-hmm. I think, I'm not sure that we are 100% sure when the dementia set in.
Well, a blogger for The Washington Post who covers the White House ran a post with the headline, "Hillary Clinton's health just became a real issue in the presidential campaign." He wrote that people simply cannot take Clinton at her word any longer about her health. What do you make of that conclusion?
Well, again, I think it just feeds into a stereotype that is very hard to shake once it is attached to a candidate. I'll give you another example. Some might remember in 1996 that Bob Dole, as a presidential candidate against Bill Clinton, fell off of a campaign stage. And people made a big fuss about that, of course, because of his age. Carly Fiorina fell off of a campaign stage earlier this year in a primary, and it was hardly a news story except for the fact that Ted Cruz was standing nearby and didn't help her very much. So, again, the same incident can happen to different people, but it's a very different absorption of that information. If she has a stereotype of being secretive, that's much more dangerous than a stereotype of being unhealthy, because the secrecy question and the need for privacy, or at least her desire for privacy, has been a bigger issue and probably a much more substantial one than any health concern.
Yeah. Do you think there's any truth, or is there any truth to the hint that there's sexism involved in the focus on Hillary Clinton's health, that she is frail and physically unfit to be president, whereas Donald Trump is, strong and virile and all that?
Well, there's certainly a question of why his health has not been more interesting to the media. The letter of health is really strange, obviously, and the doctor who wrote it said that he wrote it in 5 minutes, and it's filled with hyperbole that he would be the fittest person ever to take the office, which is absurd. The truth is, he's 70 years old. We hardly see him in exercise clothes. He has said in numerous interviews over the years that the only exercise he does is play golf, and that might be fine. But other recent candidates, from George W. Bush riding his mountain bike to Bill Clinton jogging, even slowly, to certainly President Obama's interest in basketball and other sports, and he and his wife were big fitness buffs. I mean, there has been a tendency in recent presidencies of both parties for people to show their fitness. Even though it ultimately worked against him, John Kerry did have pictures of him windsurfing, and of course he broke his leg riding a bicycle during his time as Secretary of State. We don't know anything really about Trump, and the food tweets that he sends out shows that he loves junk food. So we just don't know a lot about him.
Well, we will when he releases very specific, he says, records about his health on the Dr. Oz show on Thursday.
Yes. So, of course, that would be important. And again, even though this sounds like a fun diversion from the election, I do want to remind listeners, again, that presidents of both parties have had debilitating diseases and health episodes while they were in the office, and that it's important for us to think about not only their own health, but, of course, how they vetted and chose their vice presidential candidates. And this was something, of course, that was a big issue in 2008 with John McCain's selection of Sarah Palin. He's not a paragon of health, of course, and he wasn't then either. And his selection made people wonder how likely it would be for that mantle to go to her.
I think we'll We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue talking about the health of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and the significance of this as an issue in the presidential campaign. Do you think it's a significant issue? What do you make of how it's been dealt with by the media on the campaign trail? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. When we come back, we'll talk about an editorial in the New York Times that said that both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump should keep their word and release additional information about their respective medical histories and current health, calling it a great service to the voter. Do you agree? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about the politics of the presidential candidate's health. And we are welcoming your questions and views for our guest political scientist. Jasmine Ferrier is a professor of political science at the University of Louisville. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our lines are full and our Facebook has many comments, including Steve on Facebook, who says both candidates should submit their health records to the public. The New York Times editorial board said in a piece published Monday that both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump need to release additional information about their medical histories and their current health, calling it a great service for the voter. And Professor Ferrier, you would agree with that?
I do, and I really do want to clear up perhaps a stereotype that older candidates are going to be more prone to health episodes. We do have to remember that John F. Kennedy was the second youngest president. Theodore Roosevelt was actually the youngest president ever. And John Kennedy had numerous health issues, including disease, which is an adrenal and hormonal disorder that is very serious. And that was well concealed from the public, unlike Franklin Roosevelt's paralysis, which, as I said before, was widely known. Again, I don't want this to be an age stereotype so much as an acknowledgement that we have had one in five presidents replaced by their own vice president. We've had four who have died in office. We've had four assassinations and one resignation. So in addition to that, we've only had four who have died in office due to illness, but in that we've had at least twice as many as that number who have had serious health episodes, either known or unknown.
Yeah, and the New York Times pointed to President Obama's graying hair as a sign that the American presidency is the most grueling and stressful job there is. What do you think of that?
Well, there's no question that if you look at any images of presidents in recent decades, they have aged faster than they would have if they were not on the job.
Yeah. Is releasing all information a necessity?
Well, that's an interesting question when you have a female candidate, because we've never had a female candidate who would need to disclose gynecological medical history. I mean, that is definitely unprecedented, and that would not be fair to Hillary Clinton, although it is part of her medical history, because Donald Trump wouldn't have an equivalent.
All right, let's take some calls. Craig in Onalaska is with us. Hello, Craig.
Good morning. My comment is I believe that any applicant to be president should undergo a military physical, since they're going to be the commander-in-chief. I think it would take the bias out of knowing exactly what the person's current health status would be.
So what I mean, I've heard others call for that, too, that maybe, and I don't know about the military doing the physical, but that there should be some, like, in, I don't know, independent panel of doctors examining these, health records, and not just be the candidate's personal physician, because the candidate's personal physician can just say, the health is incredible.
Of course. Well, Craig's point is very interesting about formal and informal expectations of candidates. So formally, to require a law that candidates meet a certain set of criteria would have to pass through Congress, of course, and be signed by the president or, of course, put into law over his veto. So if Craig is talking about a formal process, that would take some time and it would be pretty controversial, because some might wonder if John McCain would have made the cut on a military medical exam, or Bob Dole, or even Ronald Reagan. So these are, of course, three very important members of the Republican side. And on the Democratic side, I would wonder if Bill Clinton's health habits would have passed muster, thinking about, again, his junk food interests before. And, of course, John F. Kennedy. So I think that both parties would have to think about what candidates would be disqualified. But just like tax forms, the truth is this health requirement is an informal expectation. We treat it very seriously, almost as if it is a formal expectation. But the idea of disclosing your financial history is a relatively new one, and it is not codified in U.S. law. It's just an expectation of the campaign season.
Let's go to next, Saeed in Green Bay. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. First, a minor correction. It is true that a woman has gynecological history, but men also have genital organs, and they too have history specific to prostate, et cetera. So there is an equivalence there.
I think that's a good point.
Okay. To set the record straight, there are 2 points. One is, what is disclosed by a individual's own physician is governed by the privacy of the patient-doctor relationship, and can only be only those things that the patient would agree to could be disclosed. So about Hillary Clinton's current health status, I have two major concerns. One is that she herself has invoked that she can't remember things because of her concussion in her FBI investigation. So as a member of a medical staff myself, when I reached the age of 65, I have to take an annual exam that demonstrates my continued mental function is adequate. And you just said that the presidency is the most critical job in the world. So therefore, I would hold the president to the same or presidential candidates to the same criteria. So just the release of information is not enough. She has to go through a neuropsychiatric examination to show us that she's capable of mental functioning.
And does Trump have to go through that too?
He has not had a head injury.
How do we know?
I agree. If he's over 65, he should. And then second, the pneumonia that we're being told could be a primary diagnosis, but I doubt that. I think it's a secondary diagnosis. The reason I say that is because pneumonia has an acute presentation. It shows up. There are symptoms. They're often very quickly diagnosed and treated. Her persistent cough has been over months. And there may be another primary problem.
And I know Saeed was going to question what some of the possible health reasons for a chronic cough are. The Clinton campaign and the doctor said it was due to seasonal allergies. But it could be something more serious, Saeed thinks. Professor, what do you have to say, Professor Ferrier, about the chronic cough and her memory lapses during the FBI investigation are two very real reasons why we should be concerned about Hillary Clinton's health?
Well, not to make light of it, I think that the doctor who just called, or he said he's a medical professional, I would not second guess him. But I think that politicians, when they say they don't remember something, that's a long-standing legal and political practice. I don't think that she's the first candidate or even president who has said they can't recall something in a controversial episode. So that does not perhaps rise to the same level as this other question, which, again, has been used as a conspiracy theory, or at least dismissed as one by Hillary Clinton's camp. But obviously there are still some lingering questions about her head injury, which was disclosed. And it's a good question about how rigorous our examinations can be when we're relying on their personal medical doctors. So I would just like to step back a little bit from the questions, and I think that these are very, both Saeed's and Craig's comments were very important. But I do want to wonder out loud, do we not want a human being to be president? Are we not allowing human beings to have illness or to have interest in pleasurable food. Or remember, even Barack Obama was a somewhat secret and not so secret smoker, and that was not given a lot of attention. He admitted to using illegal drugs. George W. Bush hinted strongly that he had been young and irresponsible when he was young and irresponsible. So are we saying then that a person to be qualified for the presidency has to have a perfect childhood, no problems in adolescence, no risk-taking or adventuresome youth in their 20s, and, of course, has to be pretty much a healthy robot? Is that really what we expect from this office, or are we really distorting the position of the presidency in the Constitution system? The 20th century has elevated the presidency above the other two branches. That is not necessarily what the founders envisioned.
Yeah. Clinton's doctor said last year that she does take blood thinners and has a thyroid disorder. So do I. But other is in otherwise excellent physical condition. You mentioned to my producer, Bill Martins, that Americans tend to have a superhero standard for physical health. Is that what you mean, that we don't think our leaders should be doing anything bad?
Right. Well, we have a very high expectation for presidents, both their physical appearance, their physical health, their charm and wonderfully sparkling personalities. We want people who would be great neighbors, spouses, people we'd go have a beer with. That's actually a question that is asked in surveys for a few decades. I mean, again, what do we want this person to be? I mean, this is a human being governing other human beings. The founders assumed that people were flawed. We have checks and balances. We have a succession and disability amendment in the Constitution to deal with presidential illness that is debilitating as well as death. We have a Congress that has 535 elected members who are more than capable of passing law. We have a system that is not a one superhero system. I think that our fantasies about the presidency might be more problematic than any of these one particular episodes.
I mean, I know you were stepping back a little bit from Saeed's point, but he was thinking that at first it was just Hillary Clinton, but yeah, maybe Donald Trump too, since he's over 65, need to go through some sort of cognitive ability test. Do you think that we'll ever see that day?
I think that we see that in their news appearances all the time. I mean, the thousands of hours that these people speak, both in scripted moments and on their feet, can give a lot of interesting insights to an amateur. And let's think about the 1984 presidential race. President Reagan, who's the incumbent, stumbled badly in his first debate with Walter Mondale. He seemed confused. He was gripping the lectern with his hand very visibly. He looked shaky on his feet. And people wondered, well, he is the oldest president to ever serve. Is this a bad sign? Well, he came back in the second debate against Walter Mondale with one of the best put-downs ever in a presidential debate, where he said, as a joke, that he would not make age and his opponent's youthful inexperience to be part of the campaign. And so he made light of his own performance, and it really did sink part of the Mondale campaign. So, again, we are not doctors, but we can see with our own eyes that they are grueling, long hours involved in running for president. They're traveling. They're shaking hands. Donald Trump is a notorious germaphobe, and he's had to get over that. He's had to shake people's hands. He's long said he doesn't like to do that. Think about what they're eating, how many people they're coming in contact with. I just think that it's unrealistic to think they'll never get sick.
Anthony on Facebook says, I honestly couldn't care less about either candidate's health. I don't think we need health records released or any of that nonsense. Campaigning isn't easy work, being on airplanes all the time, shaking hands, sleeping in new locations all the time. I'm as healthy as a horse, but I know the first week I would be sick. Honestly, this is a non-issue that the media just needs to talk about to fill airtime. Here's an idea. Cover something important. Hillary's coughing a few times is not news. You want to react to that, Professor Ferrier?
Well, very quickly, I think that one thing that people on both the left and the right and the center can agree upon is that we don't always have the best candidates that we could have in a diverse and vibrant country. So we ask ourselves, why are these the choices that we're given? Why can't we have more people that we find more personally likable or closer to our policy interests? And frankly, one of the answers is that who would want to run under these circumstances? Who wants to be submitted to all sorts of intrusive medical and financial exams? Who wants to be studied frame by frame in every single public appearance, not only over 1 year, but over decades? Who would want to submit their families to this type of scrutiny? I think that these types of questions, although I don't necessarily agree they're completely unimportant, I think they are important, I think it's discouraging to regular people who would be interested in the job.
Well, Donald Trump has been relatively quiet about Clinton's episode on Sunday, wishing her well and hoping that she gets back on the presidential trail, which she is expected to do perhaps on Wednesday. Before this weekend, he was one of the people out in front raising concerns about her coughing fits and possible underlying health problems. But now he's not now he's not saying anything. What do you make about what do you make of Trump's measured response to her pneumonia?
Well, I think that we can take the best possible version of it, which is that he sincerely does not want her to be sick. And I think that that's nice and laudable, but probably it's politically helpful to not pile on, because obviously that has not helped him in prior catastrophes, including the massacre in Orlando or the cousin of the star of the football star who had been shot in Chicago. I mean, if he crows about other people's bad news, it does not help him at all. So I think that he's being either a gentleman or he's been given advice to just keep quiet for a while. Yeah. And either way, it's positive reflection on him.
Yeah, he did criticize her comment saying that half of his supporters are deplorables. No, that half of his supporters belong in a basket of deplorables, including the racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. One news source called that comment and her health incident a disastrous 72 hours. What do you think?
That certainly could be in a media cycle, but we can reflect on all sorts of Donald Trump gaffes over the period of the last 8 months and say, wow, that really dominated the news cycle. And in fact, in his case, he makes these types of off comments so frequently that we become somewhat desensitized to them, whereas she, a very otherwise careful person, makes one bad comment and it's considered the end of her campaign. So I think rather than the health disparity, I think on the gaffe disparity, she has every reason to claim that the media are piling on her for one poor choice of word set versus hundreds, if not thousands, on his side. Nevertheless, it's not a very smart comment to make, and in fact, she had made it more than once. So it's a line that she had repeated that was not necessarily just spontaneous, and that's something that should be politically exploited by the other side if they find it newsworthy.
Yeah, she did, with her interview with Anderson Cooper yesterday, also say that she, you know, she thinks she's running a very transparent campaign, and that Trump isn't necessarily, since he hasn't released his tax returns yet. What about that?
Again, they're interesting as a pair. So a lot of the negatives against one are actually negatives against the other. And they're both very disliked by the other side, but also the positive feelings are not off the charts. There's no worshipfulness, even from their supporters in most cases. They both have interesting financial and personal histories. So the tax question is interesting. She did release her taxes, but there's no question that her financial status and the relationship with the foundation and the relationship with her husband's speechmaking is all very controversial, again, as well as her own speechmaking, which Bernie Sanders made quite a lot of fuss about. So the truth is, again, one bad stereotype actually is very similar to the other, with the differences of their temperament and their experience. Mm-hmm. But in some ways, each of them got a little lucky with the type of opponent they have, because they're in the same boat as wealthy New Yorkers with complicated financial and personal baggage.
Let me hold you there as we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And we want to know if the health of Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is an issue that is important to you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about the politics of presidential candidates' health. Hillary Clinton's campaign says she will release additional medical records this week after falling ill at a 9/11 event in New York City on Sunday. She was diagnosed with pneumonia on Friday. Meanwhile, Donald Trump says he is going to release very specific records about his health on the Dr. Oz show on Thursday. And we are welcoming your thoughts, your questions about this issue, the health of the presidential candidates, as an issue on the campaign trail. Do you think it's an important issue or not? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you worry about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, for that matter, about not being healthy enough to be president? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, Katie on Facebook says she's not concerned about Clinton's health. She writes, "I trust her medical team. I am more concerned that the person running on the GOP ticket has constantly praised Putin, has consistently made racist and xenophobic statements, has no problem with white nationalists being a part of his campaign, and has questioned why we don't use our nukes. This is much more concerning than her pneumonia." Professor Farrier, what do you think of that?
I think that Katie and Anthony before her, I think, had both had good points that maybe it's not that important to spend time on this story because, frankly, every minute, every hour, every day on this story is not going to cover another issue. And there are only so many minutes in a news cycle. So we are not talking about not only the real substantive differences between the candidates, but we're actually not talking about some of the real policy problems that the country has. So, for example, this month, or rather last month, the two-year anniversary of our bombing of ISIS took place without any real attention. We have no war authorization. This is something that's interesting to me in my research. So, again, I'm looking at what's not being covered in the media as well as what is being over-covered. I do want to make a couple of other quick points, though, which is what sometimes the media silences are just as interesting. So, for example, in this health episode, we have not had any concern, at least none that I've seen, about Hillary Clinton's choice of Tim Kaine as the vice president, nor have we had similar concerns as we have in the past about the Republican choice of Mike Pence. So I think that one interesting side note of this news cycle is, again, what's not being covered. It seems that both presidential candidates, despite all these health concerns, have made very solid choices.
Let's go next to Sarah in La Crosse. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Joy. I just wanted to say I agree with the last couple of comments and callers regarding the too much emphasis on this topic. But I just also wanted to say that anyone who has ever been in a position of interviewing and hiring employees knows that it is illegal to ask questions about their health and their family status. Because it's illegal to discriminate on those grounds. And I see the hiring of the president as being very similar, and I think that we should be looking closely at the behavior and fine, the appearance of our candidates. But, and equally so, we should be carefully looking at the vice presidential nominee. But I just think it's really unsavory and probably not even legal to be discriminating based on health. Thanks.
Well, what about that, Professor Farrier?
That's actually a very interesting insight. Of course, this is not a traditional hiring situation that would be bound by normal laws about discrimination because it would be the voters who are deciding, and we don't have any laws that would prevent voters from choosing certain types of candidates. But I do think that it's a very interesting point that we are intruding, and we're intruding in a way that would not be allowed in other circumstances, and I think that it's important to be mindful of that. On the other hand, we can't deny the history that televised images of the president, and of course the new age of smartphones where essentially everybody is a journalist, so we see Hillary Clinton's feet at the 9/11 event where we probably wouldn't have necessarily caught that before. And now we have this image-saturated society, and it does make a difference. So I think instead of wishing it away, not that the caller is saying that, but instead of wishing it away, we have to acknowledge it. Let's think about 1960. Even if your callers and your listeners are not old enough, and I'm not, to have watched that debate, the difference between Nixon and Kennedy is iconic. So the cliche of the 1960 presidential debate was that if you're listening on the radio, Nixon sounds fine. If you're watching on TV, he looks sick and sweaty, and Kennedy, by contrast, was relaxed and youthful. As I said earlier, that's a bit of a false assumption because it was Kennedy who was actually quite sick as president and had all sorts of medications and problems that were not disclosed to the public. So his youthful image was not necessarily a good shortcut to understanding his health. Nevertheless, that image is with us forever, and so is the need to look presidential, whatever that means.
Yeah, the Clinton campaign did say yesterday that it could have better handled Clinton's health scare primarily by revealing the pneumonia diagnosis sooner. A spokesperson said that the campaign was too focused on making sure she was okay rather than releasing information after the release of that video showing her stumbling and nearly collapsing. However, Clinton was diagnosed on Friday, and the campaign was criticized for waiting until Sunday to even reveal that development. How much damage do you think was done by sitting on this information?
Well, let's think about the other side. Okay, let's say that they had disclosed the information, and then she was bedridden for a few days. I don't think that that's a very good narrative for her campaign. She's going to eclipse the 9/11 memorial by her absence. This news cycle would not be about the September 11th gathering. And we have to remember, she was the senator from New York on 9/11. She was elected in 2000. She was the senator. She was there. She needed to be there. And the idea that she was supposed to miss it and that she was supposed to be comfortable missing it is really absurd. We can imagine the news cycle and how horrible the treatment would have been of her campaign if they had tried to eclipse this event and then she didn't show up.
Yeah. But do you think that this is just a news cycle event and that there'll be another story tomorrow that we'll all be talking about, or is this one that's likely to last for a while?
It might last. I think that she's going to be scrutinized even by her own supporters for health problems. And I think that trying to dismiss these issues as a conspiracy, as her supporters and her campaign tried to do, is not going to work anymore. So whether or not it's reasonable, this is going to stay. And I think that people who support Secretary Clinton should also be concerned about her health. So it's not as if this is something where it has to be black or white. Both candidates need to disclose more, and I think that until the debates happen at the end of the month, this might dominate unless Donald Trump says something that gets everybody's attention or there is some other intervening event.
Colleen in Darlington is with us. Hi, Colleen.
Yes, I thought this is the reason that we came up with the VP pick.
Mm.
And another thing, when did the Republicans ever care about women's health issues?
Well, maybe you think, Professor Ferrier, we should be talking about women's health issues rather than so much on Hillary Clinton's health?
Well, again, I think that there is plenty of evidence that candidates are treated differently under different circumstances. It's very hard to say in a way that everybody would agree that she's being treated differently, because some would argue that she's treated more lightly than Donald Trump, and other times she's considered to be under greater scrutiny. There is no question that his health has not been scrutinized, so we have to acknowledge that. That, again, we've never seen him like Putin without his shirt on. We've never seen him engaged in an aerobic sport. These are things that we've seen with other previous candidates of both parties. As for why we have vice presidents, again, I think that's a really important point to remember. We've had 44 presidents. We've had 9 instances where vice presidents have become president. As I said before, 4 for death of the president, 4 for assassination, and 1 for resignation. So that's one in five presidencies almost in United States history, almost 20%. So I think that the scrutiny for vice presidents is very important. And as I said before, the lack of attention to those choices might mean that for once we agree that both candidates made good decisions.
Let's go to Robert in Waukesha. Hi, Robert.
Hi. I was just going to comment that everybody gets sick, but not everybody can continue working through pneumonia. I find it very amazing that she's actually that, you know, that strong, you know, to be able to continue working, you know, throughout, you know, a pneumonia diagnosis. And second thing is just that I find them, you know, hypocritical that they're hitting her, you know, for lack of disclosure about her pneumonia diagnosis when, to this point, Donald Trump has still yet to release his income taxes.
Well, yeah, we touched on that income tax issue a little bit ago. But, yeah, some are saying that, hey, Hillary Clinton's pretty strong if she can campaign through pneumonia, Professor Ferrier.
Yeah, I think that that would have been her campaign's wisest move, is to flip the whole narrative and say, hey, she didn't want to miss this important event. She didn't want to skip a day. She's that dedicated to the American people. I can't imagine why that would go wrong, except there are these other issues swirling about. And again, as far as double standards go, let's not forget that Donald Trump is very well known for wanting to sleep in his own bed every night, so as much as possible. So that's why he calls in to so many shows. He doesn't like to travel extensively, and yet nobody's really made a lot of hay about that, saying that he's a lazy candidate or that he's not very dedicated, he's not very energetic. Sometimes things are issues, but they're not exploited by either the media or the other side. So, again, I think that these last callers have a good point, that maybe we need to turn the tables. It's just that he has not had a health episode in front of us. So even the most sympathetic caller or listener to Hillary Clinton has to understand and acknowledge that when you have an episode on television or it's captioned on a cell phone, it's okay to have that as a news story. And unfortunately, with some of these campaign issues, it's the campaign that becomes the focus, not the actual incident. Yeah. So now we've turned into what is her campaign saying about that. And truthfully, once the media goes to that interesting story, it becomes insider baseball. And this is going to turn off a lot of people. So once you're getting into the who did what and who made what decision and when was that decision made, you've already kind of lost a lot of the audience.
We're going to have to leave it there because we are out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. Jasmine Ferrier, professor of political science at the University of Louisville. This is the Ideas Network.